Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Australian senators have passed a world-first law that bans under-16s from having social media accounts. The law will make social media platforms liable for fines of €30 million if they don't systematically stop children younger than 16 from holding accounts. It includes some of the toughest social media controls in the world and will force platforms to take reasonable steps to ensure age verification protections are in place, so the likes of TikTok and Instagram, Snapchat, Reddit and X will have 1 year to work out how to implement the ban before the fines come into force in November 2025. For some analysis now of this move, I'm joined by Professor of Cyber Psychology, Mary Aiken, who's joined us in this programme to share her expertise on a number of occasions. Professor Mary Aiken, you're very welcome back to the programme.
Thanks, Cormac.
To discuss this very new departure that I mentioned earlier on, what's your reaction to it?
Well, to be honest, I'm delighted. I think the Australian government wanted to make a statement to the world and to big tech, and it has. You know, social media companies have been sidestepping these issues for two decades. It ends now. You know, for example, like in the 50s and 60s, the US automotive car industry were very reluctant to spend money on improving safety. And in a similar sort of watershed moment, a man called Ralph Nader wrote a book, Unsafe at Any Speed. And that changed everything, and it led to regulation and the introduction of seatbelts. Mm-hmm. I think for children, the internet is unsafe at any speed. I think the Australian ban is a global seatbelt moment that will resound around the world.
I must say that the reaction we're getting from parents and grandparents is chimes with what you're saying, I must say. Do you have any reservations, though, about an outright ban for under-16s?
You know, I think a ban is a blunt tool. I think that there will be, and it probably is an overcorrection. I think that what we'll see in the next year, as they talk about how it's going to be implement it, I think there will be some sort of mitigation of the position. Not much, but I think that certainly there will be a working through of how is this going to be enacted. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the stats, for example, number of children who social media who have a social media account, 93% of 13-year-olds have accounts, 83% of 11-year-olds. 50% of 9-year-olds and 13% of 3-year-olds. So the self-regulation by big tech hasn't worked, because all of those age groups should not be able to have a social media presence according to big tech's own regulations and governance.
Will children not be able to get around this outright ban anyway, even if it is in law in Australia?
No, certainly not, because the platforms will be held accountable and the fines will kick in, and that's going to focus their attention.
Is there any sense at all that we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak, here? That a point was made earlier in the programme that children growing up now are in the digital age. They need access to the internet and various platforms to be able to work in later life and connect right now?
Well, access to the internet and access to social media are two different things. So it's really not about pro or anti-internet. It's about children and what they're being exposed to. So, there's a whole libertarian cohort who talk about empowering children and talk about their rights to access and participation. But what I would argue is that the most fundamental right that a child has is the right to be protected from extreme and graphic and pornographic content, from sexual exploitation and abuse, from extortion, from bullying, from harassment, from mis and disinformation, and from being manipulated and targeted by sophisticated algorithms. The most fundamental right a child has is a right to an age appropriate development, a right to a childhood.
Mm-hmm. And on that, how they're going to do this now is a big question, isn't it? Because the Australian government says it's going to rely on some form of age verification technology to implement this restriction, and options will be tested, they say, in the coming months. They say the onus is going to be on social media platforms to add these processes themselves. Do you think that will be an easy process?
I think it'll be a very straightforward process for the tech companies. The point is, Cormac, a sophisticated algorithm on a social media platform that knows practically what colour socks you're going to put on tomorrow morning has the ability to differentiate an 8-year-old from an 18-year-old. And the point is, to date, nobody has stepped up and said to social tech companies, do your job, protect children online. The Australian government is the first government to do so. And I like their approach. They've said that they'll aim to do what no other government has and what many parents have tried to do, stop children from using social media. And they framed it as this is one for the mums and dads. And I think this policy will resonate around the world. The UK have already said that they're not taking anything off the table when it comes to this sort of action.
I must say I'm taken aback by what you're saying, your reaction to it, because you've shared your expertise previously, Professor Mary Aiken, on this programme. We've discussed the harms to children on social media platforms being exposed to violence and pornography and paedophiles grooming them, and the surge in depression and anxiety and suicidal ideation and so on. Now, this is going to happen in Australia in a year's time or so, but what you're telling me is that once the law comes in, overnight, almost, it can be done.
Absolutely. It's always been possible. There's just been a lack of societal will to address the issues, and that's changed. I mean, you know, I've talked about this on so many occasions, and I think my position has been consistent for the last decade or so. And I think what has changed in the interim is the harm. So what we're seeing is the CAM services, the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services, are being overwhelmed. I mean, in Ireland alone, we've seen a 20 to 30% increase year on year demand on these services. We've seen an escalation in terms of online harm. So, you know, online harm is a broad term. What does it mean specifically? So you've got sexual harms, which is exposure to extreme content and the, as you say, child sexual abuse and grooming and sextortion. You've got aggression as a harm. That's exposure to hate speech, harassment, cyberstalking. You've got manipulation as a harm, mis- and disinformation, and algorithmic targeting. You've got self-injurious harm, which is self-starvation, cutting, suicidal ideation. You've got mental health and well-being harm, anxiety, depression. You've got cognitive harms, physical harms, and then harms around delinquency. I was the lead investigator on the research that Ofcom, who are the UK regulator, commissioned to create a taxonomy of online harm in terms of children under the age of 18, well, young adults and children under the age of 18. And effectively, we identified this full range of harms. So the harms exist. They're coming into the mental health services. The services are being overwhelmed. That's what happened in the UK. That's what has happened in Australia. And now what governments are doing are they are reacting. And they're saying to the people who profit in this space, who profit from the monetization of child attention in the attention economy, and they're saying to them, stop, fix the problem. And what you will see, if we talk again in 12 months' time, you will see that miraculous technological solutions will manifest.
The reaction I'm getting, Mary, on the screen here is ranges from people welcoming this and agreeing with this and agreeing with your sentiments. One person saying you can't teach a child to smoke safely. So they're in favour of what's happening in Australia. But then I have a text like this, which I'll read to you and get you to react. Surely abstinence is not a good idea. Investing in promoting healthy internet usership is essential. Much more of this, please. But what's the benefit in getting teens to wear an internet purity ring? Assuming the worst about young people using social media seems short-sighted. It's the place where many can find their much-needed tribe. Young people from marginalised communities may be disproportionately impacted by this decision.
I think the problem is that when people talk in broad strokes about access to the internet, or broad strokes about children, you know, childhood is an age range from 0 to 18. So, of course, all of those ages have to be treated differently. And what you're talking about is age-appropriate exposure and protection from specific harms. And that's where the science piece will come into play. So the UK, I'm one of the founders of the UK safety tech sector, and we've had 50 or 60 years of cybersecurity. Cybersecurity protects your data, your systems, your devices. It does not protect what it is to be human online. So we have these new sector, a global sector called safety tech, and specifically technologies have been designed to protect children and young people at various ages from specific harms. And the solution to this will be deploying these technologies. So the reason a ban has come into effect in Australia, it's a sudden stop to say no more harm. I believe the outcome of that ban will be tech companies suddenly turning their attention to these existing tech solutions and triaging and mitigating this full range of harms, mm-hmm. to the point whereby a blunt tool like a ban is not necessary. And that's my prediction.
Okay. Can I ask you two very brief questions before we finish? A point raised by Alex Cooney earlier in the programme, saying that it seems that gaming platforms, for example, might not be covered by this ban and that harm can happen there as well. Is that a deficit or a deficiency here?
I think that'll all come out in the consultation process. So I think this is the beginning of a year-long journey and all of these issues will be considered. I think they're starting with social media, and I'm not party to the Australian regulatory process,
yeah.
but my guess would be they'll start with the social media, but then they'll also look at things like search and YouTube and, you know, okay. the full range of online activities.
Well, we spoke with the eSafety Commissioner from Australia on this programme, and she is absolutely determined to follow through on what she's proposing here.
She's a powerhouse and a personal friend.
She certainly is a powerhouse anyway. Can I ask you, my final question is in relation to the Irish context or the European context. We have so many European HQs of these tech multinationals in Dublin. Is it possible, should it happen, a similar ban here for under 16s?
Well, bans have worked well in Ireland. We had the smoking ban, we had the plastic bag ban. Again, I think that we need to do something radical. I think we're very well placed to do it in Ireland. I know this issue has been kicked right to the top of the policy agenda across all political parties. And I would feel confident that the next government will take this issue very seriously. The caveat is they need to talk to the global community of cyber behavioural scientists to actually help to inform policy here, and therein will lie the solutions. This is a good day in cyberspace.
Okay. Can I ask you one final question based on a text that I've got from Larry, actually, because it brings to mind something the US Surgeon General said about social media platforms and the harm done to children's mental health. And he called it the experiment needs to be reined in, or words to that effect. Larry says, I'm a 72-year-old retired public servant. I have information technology since 1972, and I'm a user of all the subsequent technologies and social media platforms. This Australia ban is lunacy. It's akin to the guy with the red flag before the 1904 Daimler. It's madness, says Larry. And I just wonder if some of our listeners, very many of our parents maybe and grandparents, will grasp the potency of social media platforms and the insidious nature of them to such an extent that we might say that there's no harm in this, really. What's the need for a ban?
I think with all due respect to Larry, he's in his 70s. This isn't about him. This is about children. And there's been, you know, a concerning movement to empower children in the way of emancipating them from their parents. We saw this in the digital age of consent debate, where people wanted to lower the age of consent to 13. I led the campaign for the digital age of consent to be 16, and that was, you know, 7 years ago. And here we are. These issues have come around again. So, you know, what we have to do is we have to protect children. Parents are best placed to protect children, and parents are best placed to inform these policy decisions. This is what has happened in Australia. This is what will happen in Ireland.
Okay, we're getting so many texts to 51551. One listener says, if this had been rolled out in Ireland, our son would not have become a drug dealer on social media. Well, there you go.
Well, you know, unfortunately, children have died, young people have died as a result of their exposure and their experience online. And I think, as I said, watershed moment, now is the time to step up. This is good news for parents in Ireland. Parents in Ireland will sleep a little easier tonight.
Okay. Professor of Cyber Psychology, Mary Aiken, thank you very much indeed for joining us in this programme again.